Sometimes it takes faith just to pray because you wonder, is anybody even really listening and does this matter? That's why we can't sometimes pray for 13 seconds without losing our train of thought. Because after 13 seconds, I'm like, am I crazy? Do I just have an imaginary friend, a grown-up version called God? And is he really listening? If he is really listening, then why did my friend die last year? He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And not only is it impossible to please God, but it's impossible to even come to him. Now, I show you this because I love every detail of the scripture, and you might have skimmed over this, and I don't want you to. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God. So when you come to God, you don't come to God because you were really good today and he wants to hear from you because you did really good today. You don't come to God because you got something to brag about and you want him to give you a gold star for everything you did for him that day. You don't come to God bringing him a list of reasons that he should use you and showing him your resume for how valuable you would be for his kingdom. You don't come to God because, wow, if he could really get a hold of your life, then he could really start changing the world. You come to God by the very starting point of believing that I can come to a God that I cannot see, that he is real. Somebody shout, he's real. I need to do a test. How many believe Jesus is real? I need a few testimonies to happen. Just break out in every section of the church. Look at your neighbor. Say, he's real to me. Tell him, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. As a matter of fact, God is real to me. God is realer to me than you are to me. Because you're in a body and you're a person and you're sitting next to me. And you might be here one day and not here the next. But God is real to me because he is the one who was and is. I feel like preaching today. Y'all help me pace my message, but just high five three people, say he's real. He's real. So I come to God with the confidence that when I roll over and see Holly in the morning, I say, hey. And I say hey to her because her head is next to mine. I say hey. Because I see her. When I turn to God, I have to say, hey. Somebody say, hey, to somebody I can't see. And not only can I not see him, sometimes I can't feel him. Will you be real with me for 15 seconds so I can start this sermon today? It takes faith to start praying to God. It takes faith to start declaring. It takes faith to believe that your sins are forgiven when you still feel the guilt of them. Because I can sing Jesus paid it all, but it takes faith for me to say that because I'm carrying it with me and I still feel a debt for the things that I did, but he's real. I believe that. We believe this. The writer of Hebrews is saying to the church that they're all new. They're all new to this. And so they're in between a place of working their way to God and believing in the God that they can't see. And he knows that they need encouragement. So he says, first of all, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists or that he's real. And that second thing, give me verse 6 again, that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He is a rewarder. Now, if you believe that he's real, but don't believe he's a rewarder, you won't pick up the phone when he calls because you'll be suspicious about what he wants. And you'll be sitting over there silently like my mom going. And we'll be saying, well, give your life to God. And you'll be like, but what is he going to make me do if I do? Give your life to God. Well, where is he going to make me? Am I going to have to go? I talked to a guy one time. This guy has so much money. And he thought that God wanted his money. I thought that was funny. I thought that was hilarious. That God has a need and he's going to tell you about it. So I'm trying to explain about the streets of gold in heaven.
was like, they pave what we save. They pave the streets in heaven with what we save up down here. And he was so concerned. He was so concerned what God was going to make him give up. Because he didn't understand yet. He was starting to believe that God is real. But he didn't see God as a rewarder. He saw the Lord as a liability. And sometimes we are afraid to take the step that God is calling us to take and accept his call because of what it might cost. Into this premise and the tension, I would like to talk to you about saying hey by faith. About the fact that a relationship with God does not begin the moment that you get your act together, but the moment that you throw yourself on the mercy of God and say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. That is the faith that it takes to enter into the presence of God. And when God prompts your heart, as he's prompting many of you today, to get right with him, it is not a righteousness that you go for. It is a righteousness that is engrafted in you and gifted to you. From time to time, I think I need to say these things because when we say faith, we mean a lot of different things. For some, faith has come to mean nothing more than an optimistic outlook. Well, if that's your take on faith, it won't take much to undo it. Because when things don't turn out like they looked in your mind, in your life, you will abandon your faith. On the other hand, for some, faith is a classification. They'll say it in a political sense. These are the people of faith, the faith community, as if faith were synonymous with a voting bloc. Like people of faith all vote one way, like our God isn't bigger than your little petty little political little agenda-driven boxes that you try to get us to check. God can't be contained that way, and neither can faith. For some, faith means nothing more than the moment when you give your life to Jesus, and then after that, you're on your own to work your butt off and show him how grateful you are. So you receive Jesus by faith. Good luck with the rest of your life. Hope you make it to heaven. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging these people to continue in the faith. Now watch what he does. He does something so good. He says, I know that what you're going through is new to you. I know that this trusting in the righteousness of Jesus. Now, this is the gospel in one sentence. He died, Jesus. Jesus died as if he sinned. So I can live as if I didn't. I love that when God showed it to me like that. Because I think if we're going to say we're putting our faith in something, we ought to know what we're believing. And what I'm believing isn't just that the situation is going to turn out or turn around or make me happy or be everything I wanted it to be. But what I'm believing is that Jesus died as if he sinned so that I could live as if I didn't. He died as if he deserved to die, so I could live like I could never deserve to live in his grace. He died like a criminal, so I could be called a child of God. That's what we believe. And so it begins with this. We come to God and we believe that he exists. And we believe that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. So this week, when you don't feel worthy to come to God, just remember, he died so you could live as if you never sinned. So you could pray as if you never sinned. So you could come boldly in his face and tell him what you need in the time of your trouble. So that you can move forward from your past and not be stuck back in it and not drag around a chain that he broke 2,000 years ago. This is what we believe. Somebody shout, I believe by faith. And so the next time the devil tells you you can't come to God and starts putting condemnation in your face, remember Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None.
zilch, zero, zip, nada. When the devil tries to condemn you, tell him, hey, devil, I appreciate what you're saying. I probably did do something wrong. I know I did stuff wrong. I can add some stuff to the list, but I got the faith to say, hey, devil, it's paid for in full. All right, let me run a poll. How many of you the devil's been beating you up over something this week? All right, do you have faith? Did he die for you? Was his blood enough for you? Did he satisfy the righteous requirements of the law in his body? Did the spotless Lamb of God lay down his life for you? You got faith? You believe that? You got the faith to say, hey, devil, I hear your voice, but it is silenced in the face of a greater voice, a greater grace, a greater covenant has come. He does something so good. He goes, I know this is new to you. How many of you living God's way is new to you? I just want to see a show of hands. Yeah. It's really you I want to talk to. So everybody else can go home. Let's just stay here together for a minute. And really, if you didn't raise your hand, you haven't spoken with God lately. Because it will always feel new to you if you are going forward. The only way for you to stop feeling that feeling of like, and the writer describes it in a very particular way. He goes, Abraham, remember, Abraham was the guy who got this all started. He was called the father of faith, the father of many nations. That's what God calls him. That's not what he was. He didn't have a single son when God called him that. And he was 75 when God called him. The Bible says about Abraham in verse number 8, put it back up on the screen. This is the verse that I thought was so anointed. It might break a yoke and it might scare a devil and it might bring somebody's heart back to a place of beating again. It said, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. The more I studied this word, the better it got, because it actually is connected where it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive, it literally is juxtaposed in the grammar that it's written in the letter to the Hebrews as an immediate response. So what it means is that as he was being called, he went as soon as he was being called. So now you can measure your spirituality in inverse proportion. The time that God tells you to do something, however long it takes you to do it, that's how immature you are in your relationship with him. And I've got a lot of growing up to do. So I need this word. Because, look at it again, he was called to go to a place he would later receive, so he's not going to get it right away. He obeyed and went, and this part will probably trip you up, even though he didn't know where he was going. Going without knowing. That is faith, isn't it? Answering and not even knowing. Is this really God? Is this really going to happen? At this point in the sermon, there are usually about 10 reckless people who just use this as an excuse to quit your job and move to Canada. That's not the essence of the text, though, is it? Because it is not about a geographical location change. It is actually about staying in faith.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.